I'd like for you to turn with me in your Bibles to Numbers chapter 10. Numbers chapter 10, the title of this message, Desperate for Direction. Desperate for Direction. I think one thing that we all have in common, regardless of our age, is a need for direction at different times in our life. How many of you have been faced with some decision, possibly even this past week, and it's just like, don't you wish that God would just show up and just talk to you and tell you what to do? I can tell you that even over the past month, I don't know how many times, it's just like, God, would you please just have a conversation with me? I wished I could hear an audible voice. And sometimes we really need, we desire direction, and we just want to hear from God. The danger lies in becoming so desperate that we open up ourselves sometimes, at times, to listening to the wrong voice. The Bible declares, do not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Do not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. That is the danger when you are desperate for direction. And I'll tell you, sometimes that ungodly counsel, it can come from a person, it can come from a friend, it can come from an associate, but I'll tell you, sometimes it just comes right here. It comes into your mind. Maybe it's in the middle of the night and you need direction and you think, well, this is what I'm going to do. And you haven't prayed it through. You haven't been into the Word of God. And you're certain you know what to do, and you think you know what to do, and you're desperate for that direction. And I think sometimes it's right here that we have to be very careful about the voice we listen to. In Numbers chapter 10, we discover one of the great heroes of the Bible, Moses. He's been given the responsibility of leading the children of Israel. By the way, more than 2 million people at that time. Imagine leading a city the size of Houston, a city of people, a group of people about the size of Houston. And don't get me wrong, I'm sure they didn't have tempers like, you know, we see today. I'm sure there was no road rage like we see today. There might have been camel rage, but people still had the same basic nature then as they do now. And here's Moses, this basically a very insecure man, unsure of himself. He felt that as a leader, he didn't measure up to what God's leader should be. Remember, Moses was the man God told him to go and to speak to the children of Israel, to lead them. And what did Moses say? Well, God, not me. I can't speak. I can't talk. And God said, hey, I'll put my word right in your mouth. Oh, no, God. It was like this was the ultimate insecure man. But I believe that if God asked me to lead 2 million people, I would be insecure as well. Imagine that. What a responsibility. Moses needed direction. The Israelites during this time, they're camped in the wilderness at Sinai. They'd actually been there for about a year, and it was during that time that God gave Moses and the children of Israel the law of God. It's now time to pack up the camp and journey through the wilderness. Moses didn't have the same technology that we have today. You know, isn't it so easy that we can just ask Siri where to go? I need direction. In fact, sometimes Siri will give you direction when you're not even asking for direction. When I'm traveling, I always have the Hey Siri feature on. And 2 weeks ago, I was up here preaching, and my wife had taken my phone, and she just had put it right here after the time of worship. I don't know what I said that set Siri off, but everybody got to hear Siri, you know, and all of a sudden, we were talking about Potiphar, and all of a sudden, I heard Siri say, Potiphar. And I'm like, well, that, and I had to actually stop at that moment and turn my phone off. And it's that technology, we love it, that it, you know, we can just speak into the phone and we can get direction. But Moses had no such technology. He did nonetheless have direction. For Moses, it was simple. Follow the cloud. Follow the cloud. By day, follow the pillar of fire. God had given specific instruction about how they were to march, and that is what Numbers 10 is all about. One morning, the pillar of cloud, which would lead them by day, it lifted, and the families began to pack their belongings. Their tabernacle is packed up. It's time to move on. And it's at this point that we see a short, a very brief exchange, a conversation between Moses and his father-in-law, Hobad, who is a Midianite. Here we discover, again, the insecurity of Moses. He's needing direction. He doesn't know what to do. And let's watch what happens next. Look down with me at verse 28. Thus was the order of march of the children of Israel according to their armies when they began their journey. Now Moses said to Hobab, the son of Reuel, the Midianite, Moses' father-in-law, "We're setting out for the place of which the Lord said, I will give it to you. Come with us, and we will treat you well, for the Lord has promised good things to Israel." And he said to him, "I will not go, but I will depart to my own land and to my relatives." And so Moses said, "Oh, please do not leave, insomuch as you know where we are to camp in the wilderness, and you can be our eyes. And it shall be, if you go with us, indeed it shall be that whatever good the Lord will do to us, the same will do for you." And so they departed from the mountain of the Lord on a journey of 3 days. And the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord went before them for 3 days' journey to search out a resting place for them. And the cloud of the Lord was above them by day. And they went out from the camp. There are two common mistakes that we make when we are desperate for direction. Two mistakes. Number one, we often make the mistake of forgetting. We forget. What is it about pressure that causes us to forget? How often have you been under pressure and you just completely, it's like your mind goes blank of the things that you know that you should know, but you can't remember? It is during moments of desperation that we are prone to forget what should be obvious to us. Notice in verse 31, Moses implores Hobab the Midianite to go with him on this wilderness journey. Oh, please, Hobab, stay with us. You know where we are to camp. Hobab, you can be our eyes. In other words, Hobab, I want for you to guide us through the wilderness. Now, does this sound familiar? God, find someone else to lead the children of Israel. Find someone else to lead us out of Egypt. I can't speak. I can't lead. Hobab, be our eyes as we go through the wilderness. Show us how to camp. I think Moses had forgotten. God had already shown him. He had shown himself faithful. How often has God shown himself faithful to us? He's shown himself to be the one that will guide us. He will lead us. He will sustain us. And then what happens? Oh, when there's a problem that comes along, the first thing that we do, we begin to worry, don't we? We forget what God has done in the past. We forget how he has shown himself faithful. God had already spoken to Moses, and the Lord went before them. This is Exodus chapter 13. By day in a pillar of cloud and to lead the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light so as to go by day and night. And he did not take away the pillar of cloud by day or the pillar of fire by night from before the people. Now you ask yourself, well, if God has been leading, if God was guiding, if God was directing the march, if God was using the cloud, if God was using the pillar of fire, then why is it that Moses needed Hobab? What was it? Well, someone might say, well, you know, I think that God often uses the natural, most obvious means to accomplish his purpose, and sometimes that is true. In fact, I think usually it is true. So often, God does use natural or what appear to be natural circumstances in order to lead us. I know we can look back over our married life, our life as a family, the major moves that we've made. And I can categorically say that absolutely, it seems or it appears to have been natural circumstances, financial circumstances, job related, whatever it is that moved us. And someone might say, well, you know, God, I need to eat. You supplied manna from heaven to the children of Israel. God, fill my cupboards with manna. And you open up your cupboard, no manna. And you look, there's got to be manna here. You did it for the children of Israel. And God would say to you, well, you know, you have good legs. You have a mind. You're intelligent. Go out and get a job. Oh, but God. And sometimes we're looking for the supernatural when so often God does use the natural. But with the nation of Israel, it was something different. God would consistently use the supernatural to accomplish his plan. And by the way, I believe God absolutely still does use the supernatural to accomplish his plan and his purpose in our lives. God had already sent. He had already used the supernatural to convince Pharaoh to let the people go. God had supernaturally opened up the Red Sea to allow the Israelites to pass through. God had already supernaturally led the people, a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. So what is it that prompted Moses to beg Hobab to stay and to show them the way? And to show them where to camp. How many of you have experienced what I call simply lack of faith? Lack of believing. Lack of trusting. Lack of surrendering. Moses, you know, you can appreciate the man because you realize, well, he was like us. Or we're like him. We struggle with the same issues. Even this great man of God, he struggled with trusting God, even after all that he had seen God do. Have you ever noticed that in the past, when you've surrendered something to God, has God ever failed to come through? Has God ever denied you ultimately an answer, unless it was his plan and his purpose to just be silent? Has God ever failed you in your life when you needed him the most? But how often we forget when we need direction. That was the weakness of Moses. We see it throughout his ministry as a leader of God's people. Ultimately, it was the same forgetfulness of the work of God that kept him from entering into the promised land. When God told Moses to speak to the rock so that water might come forth, Moses hit the rock in anger. And in doing so, Moses bypassed the plan of God. That is the danger. Bypassing the plan of God. But isn't that our weakness too? We see how God has been faithful in the past. How many of you remember seasons in your life where God has been so faithful and you look back and you go, wow, look what God did. And what happens? You forgot. And you begin to worry. Are you worried about some circumstance today? Are you worried about some area of your life? Is there some place where you need direction now? And you're worried if God is even going to come through. Hobab, be our eyes. Tell us how to camp. Show us the path to take, Hobab. The danger of forgetfulness. And number two, in desperation, we are in danger of following ungodly counsel. We want an answer. We want to hear a voice. We are desperate, and so often we will listen to the wrong voice. Have you ever received bad advice from somebody? Have you ever asked somebody what to do? Somebody who was not a believer, somebody, maybe they were a believer, but you received bad advice. How many of you have received bad advice simply from yourself? It's like in my mind, you know, it's like, oh man, this is what I'm going to do. I am not happy with what they did to me. I am not happy how they treated me. And here is what I am going to do to fix this situation. Boy, I'll tell you, it's a wonder that I'm teaching this message, because I literally was up last night with that exact same issue, dealing with a problem in the flesh, in the mind, in the heart. And I thought, you know, I haven't even prayed about this. I haven't even taken this to the Lord. And I was so tempted to listen to my own fleshly counsel. We want an answer. Someone said, no enemy is worse than bad advice. No enemy is worse than bad advice. In England, walking past the royal courts of justice one day, a man spotted a friend sitting on the steps outside, sobbing loudly with his head buried in his hands. Well, what's the matter? He asked his friend. Did your lawyer give you some bad advice? And his friend responded, no, it's worse than that. It's even worse. He sold it to me. How many of you have paid for bad advice? Maybe some of you have even paid and been paid to give bad advice. But you know, bad advice, it comes in many shapes, it comes in many forms, and the Bible warns us repeatedly to avoid ungodly counsel. Blessed is the man, Psalm 1 says, who walks not in the counsel of what? The ungodly. In other words, when you hear that ungodly counsel, you are not to walk in it. You may hear it, you may be tempted to follow it, but you must turn away from it, because it is not from God. And when you recognize that you are hearing a word that does not line up with this word, you need to go the other direction, because it is the word of God that will never mislead you. David writes, happy is the person, blessed is the one who refuses to take direction from ungodly people. But in seasons of desperation, Moses violated this principle. Hobab, be our eyes, guide us, show us where to camp. Now, how do we know that Hobab was an ungodly man? Well, first of all, we know that he is ungodly because he is a Midianite. The Midianites, they were a nomadic Arabian tribe who were initially very friendly to Israel, as long as Israel did not bother them. But later we discover that Israel was brought into relations with the Midianites through Balaam the prophet, and God punished Israel severely. In fact, in Numbers 25:9, we discover that God sends a plague upon Israel. 24,000 Israelites perished. Hobab, a Midianite. That alone isn't the indicator that Hobab was ungodly. There were others outside of the nation of Israel who had turned to God. But what made Hobab ungodly was that he never turned to God. Look with me at verse 30. After Moses had invited Hobab to journey with him, and after Moses had invited Hobab to partake in the blessing of God, the promises to Israel, notice how Hobab responds. And he said to him, I will not go, but I will depart to my own land and to my own relatives. Most of you can relate to this. How do you relate to it? Well, some of you have associates, people you work with, people you know, they're not believers. And how many of them you said, well, you know, why don't you come with me to church? Why don't you come to me and be with the people of God? How do they respond? Oh, no, not me. You know, I don't do that kind of stuff. Besides, I've got things to do. I've got something I've got to go to. I can't do it. And they will make excuses. And here we have this man, Hobab. Imagine Moses. All that had happened already up to that moment that God had done, and the promises and God's magnificent glory. And Moses said, look, just come and be with us. And this man says, well, not me. I'm going to go back to my own people, because that's where I belong. I'll tell you what, there's a problem when you know it's good that you take the church into the world, But there's a problem when you bring the world into the church. And so here Moses, Hobab, loyalty not to the people of God, loyalty to his own people, the Midianites, godless, idol worshiping, an abomination to the Lord. And yet Moses is saying, please camp with us. Show us where to go. Show us the way. For the moment, Moses was tempted to trust in the eyes of this ungodly Midianite for direction. Hobab, be our eyes. So you're desperate for direction. What should you do? We've talked about what you should not do. Don't forget, number one, what God has done in the past. Number two, don't follow ungodly advice. Then what should you do? I want to give you three words, very simple words that you can jot down that will help you when you need direction. Number one, the word is seek. Psalm 34, 4. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and he delivered me from all of my fears. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and he delivered me from all of my fears. This works. Just this past week, it was late at night, just before bed. Some things had happened during the day that were very troubling. And I thought, before I do anything else, before I go any further, I'm going to pick up this word, and I'm just going to see where God takes me. And the Lord took me to Psalm 5, and I read the entire psalm, and then I got to the end, and there was just these two verses at the end, and I noticed that I had circled that last verse of Psalm 5. And I felt, you know, I think God is trying to speak to me. I think God wants to share something with me through his word. And I literally prayed, and I said, God, would you confirm your word to me? That you are showing me, that you are showing me what to do in this situation. Well, just a few minutes later, Delaine came into the room. It was just before bed. Every night she does a devotion with our daughter, Sarah. So she got into bed and she saw the Bible sitting on the bed there right next to me. And she said, oh, I really want to share. I want to share with you this amazing devotion we just had with Sarah together. And she began to read it, and it begins in Psalm chapter 5 and references the exact verses that the Lord had taken my attention to. Now, is that God confirming? Is that God speaking through his word? Is that God sharing with me what God wanted me to know, knowing that I was desperate for direction? Number one, seek. Second word you can jot down is the word look. Specifically, look at God's word, the Bible. Psalm 119, verse 105. Make note of this. Your word is what? A lamp unto my feet. It is a light unto my path. I don't know about you, but one of the things I need at night, I have to have a flashlight. Our room is very dark. And sometimes I have to get up in the middle of the night. I don't know why, but I do. More often, now as I'm getting older, I get up more often. I don't know why, but I do. But I need a flashlight. And I think of the Word of God. You know, we live in a dark world. There is darkness all around us. The Word of God, it is the light, the word of God. It is the lamp. It shows us the way to go. And so the psalmist said, your word, it's a lamp. It's a lamp unto my feet. It lights the path. It shows me where to go. And in this book, the Bible, you have the personal counsel of God to you. And trust me, he will make it very personal. I cannot tell you. I gave you one example. From Psalm chapter 5. Do you know that's just a regular occurrence? It doesn't always happen that Delaine comes in or something like that, or there's that strong confirmation. But so often, after turning to the Word of God, somehow God will confirm His Word to me. Another verse I really like, Psalm 18:28, "For you will light my lamp, the Lord my God will enlighten my darkness." Have you ever heard of the expression, "I'm in the dark," or "you're in the dark"? The promise here is that God will never leave you in the dark. God will never leave you in a place where you won't have his direction as a child of God. The Word of God, like a light in a dark room. What do? Well, you turn on the light. The Word of God. The third word is the word trust. And I think that probably of all the words, the two words I've described, I think this gets down to the heart of what is most difficult. It is trust. How many of you struggle with trusting God? Now, you can be honest. How many of you struggle with simply trusting God at all times and in all situations? We do, don't we? That's an honest admission. It's just part of our fleshly nature. We struggle. We're in great company, aren't we? The disciples struggled. They were apostles. They struggled. The great men of God in the Old Testament, they struggled with trusting God. But listen to what the writer of Proverbs said. He said in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, "Trust in the Lord." Trust in the Lord with what? All your heart. What that means is you trust in God with your whole being. It's not just a part of you trusting God. It's not this much trust. It is a wholehearted trust in God. And it says, "And do not lean on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him." And then what happens? Shows you where to go. He gives you the direction that you need, but it takes that trust. The mistake of Moses is he failed to trust God. And just like we often do, he looked for the eyes of man to lead him. And an ungodly man, no less. I don't know why it is that, well, I guess I do know. Why would we trust people more than we trust God? I think it's because we get to hear a voice. We get to see somebody. And it just comes natural to us. I would rather listen to somebody else. How many times have you gone to five different people before you ever went to God? And you should have come to him first. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. And David wrote Psalm 48:14, and we'll close with this. He said, "For this is God, our God forever and ever." What does it say next? "He will be our guide." You can personalize that, by the way. Would you like to do that right now at this moment? Well, let's read it together. Why don't we stand? Let's read it together. But when we get to "our guide," you can say "my guide." "For this is God, our God forever and ever. He will be my guide even to death." That means you have a lifetime guide, a personal guide with God. You don't need Hobab. You need a relationship with a living God who loves you and he cares for you and he will never leave you. He will never forsake you. And he will guide you for your entire life. And Father in heaven, we thank you for your word to us this morning. We thank you that you have given to us, Lord, personal care. And you have said that we can cast all of our cares upon you, for you care for us. And I know there are some cares here this morning. We bring our cares in. May we leave this morning with our cares cast far from us and upon you, for you are the great guide. You are our God. And you will show us the way to go. May you bless all who have come today. May you bring them assurance. I know in difficult times it's hard to trust. Lord, would you strengthen our hearts and affirm to us that you are worthy of all trust. We know by faith, and yet sometimes we're like the man who said, "Oh Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief." We need help even to believe. And so we pray these things in the name of your mighty Son, Jesus. Amen. And so may the Lord bless you. May he keep you in his love. May he keep you in a place where you are actually, and you can relate to this, where, you know, it's like you must trust. You need to trust. May he give you a sense of peace. And it is the peace that passes all understanding to those whose minds and hearts are what? Stayed. Fixed on God. In Jesus' name, amen.